You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning and welcome in. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It is Tuesday. It's Halloween. Hopefully you're ready for a fun Tuesday night. You got the kids ready to dress up, perhaps. You're passing out candy. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports Eye on NFL blog, spins us around the league at 11. Chris Russell on the Redskins at 1. There is so much to get into. Are you ready for Halloween, Danny?
Yeah, head on a swivel, because in Silly Glover Park, where your boy lives, it is one of the great trick-or-treating destinations in this country. That's not hyperbolic.
There's various
magazines that'll tell you the same thing. D.C. is one of the great Halloween cities. A lot of places do it really well, in New York, San Francisco, whatever else. Because you've got a lot of houses, townhouse-style stuff, a lot of young people, a lot of kids. It is a circus traveling through the neighborhood. And you can make a grand killing as a small child getting yourself some candy.
You got to go with the pillowcase, I believe, rather than the small bag, so you can fill it up with candy. That's my move.
That's the play. And it's an easy carry, because you get whatever you get, and it's a quick twist onto the next house.
Throw it over your shoulder?
Exactly.
Like a vagabond going city to city?
Like a hobo riding the rails.
Very much going to be a productive night for a lot of the youngsters out there in the area. It was always my favorite time of the year, when I could just go get all the candy, eat all the candy. No one was going to tell me anything about it because it was Halloween. The way to do it. Are you guys, you and the wife, both going with the son, does someone stay home and pass out candy?
No, so we're on the early shift, so we'll have a bowl for the early folks.
Oh, I hate to leave the bowl out.
Then when we get back, obviously, you know, he can't stay out until 8, 9, 10 o'clock when, like, the 12-year-olds
are out
there.
Yeah, you're going to be, like, 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Exactly. So as it starts to get dark, that's when we're doing our business. So then we'll get back home and be doing out candy. Full-size bars.
Do you understand when I say that I do get annoyed by the people that leave the bowl out and say, take one? I'd never like that gimmick.
I don't know, because to me, it cuts out the middleman of, like, oh, what are you? That's so good. What are you?
I think that's part of the process.
I don't want that process. Give me the candy. Just give me the candy. Give me the candy.
So as a kid, you even liked the bowl.
Yeah, I love the bowl. Give me the candy that involves caramel. Give me the once-a-year nougat explosion. Just give it to me immediately.
Here's why I hated the bowl as a kid, because when the bowl was left out on the
porch. Why did you hate the Todd bowls?
I'm going to tell you why right now. There was never great candy in the bowl. You're not going to leave a bowl out with great king-sized options or, you know, popcorn or pretzels or something, because people would take a bunch of them. So when you leave it out, it's like the little tiny boxes of Milk Duds or something like that, or it's the little tiny Hershey's bar, whatever it is,
right,
which is fine, but that's not what put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach on Halloween. I actually went last night to Wegmans. I made a huge mistake, by the way. I went to Wegmans thinking I could just buy in bulk a bunch of king-sized candy bars and stuff.
Okay.
I couldn't. So I just had to go to the cash register aisle, basically, right there.
You had to go individual?
And I just went individual. I bought like 50 things, like 10 different options, 5 apiece. I got king-size Skittles, M&Ms. We went, I had to get Harbio gummy bears, which I think are terrible. But fiance made me do that. I got 5 different options of king-size ready to go. But if there's more than 50 kids that come by, which there shouldn't be, hopefully, where I live, they're out of luck.
And you'll be Ken Boned.
Because I just went 50 king size. I didn't even buy an extra bag just in case, because I don't want to risk having something left at my house, because I'll eat all of it.
I understand that.
And Wadzina would not like that very much.
Absolutely not, is what she would say.
She would be anti me enjoying my Halloween. But tonight is the night, so enjoy yourselves. What a 24 hours in the NFL. It's been a crazy 24 hours for us as well. If you missed it, Robert Griffin called into the show yesterday. You can grab that podcast at grantanddanny.com/audio. That's getting a lot of run around the country still. Kirk Cousins was on the air with us talking about the Cowboys loss. That is also available at grantanddanny.com/audio.
Curious if your experience was similar to mine. And I don't apologize, by the way, for having Robert Griffin III on the show. I think it was newsworthy and really solid. And even the fact that I addressed that makes me irritated. But whatever. What was the reaction that you saw for the most part? I'm curious as to what your experience was. From people at large, I had two distinct reactions. One reaction was, hey, that was a really good interview. You guys asked questions. He answered. He stood up. Whether you believe him or not, that was still pretty cool. He hasn't spoken in some time. He kind of put things on the record instead of this weird cryptic tweet storm. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. Again, whether you agree or disagree, reasonable people can draw their own conclusions, right? I saw a good reaction to it. The other was a, and this was pretty out there, I would say probably a quarter to maybe 30-some percent of people, just the mention of his name and the fact that he was on air in any capacity drove people to rage. So furious. Like, how could this happen? Why would this happen? Like, you're to blame, I'm to blame. Like, Blue Shorts is to blame for some reason. The producers are to blame. The station is criminal with this. Griffin's a jackass. Just so many things that were just so angry about it. And I was curious, A, if you had the same reaction. And B, I wonder why so visceral. I wonder what harm was done by it to those folks.
Yeah, I had the same reaction. I don't acknowledge it. I mean, I don't have the time to explain how our job works to people. And frankly, I don't question how people do their jobs. So if I did, they shouldn't take the time to tell me how they go about doing what they're going to do. So, yeah, I don't care about that. I mean, we had a guy on the air yesterday that a lot of people wanted to hear from. We're in broadcasting.
No, I understand that.
So, yeah, I saw that. I didn't spend 1 second thinking about it. The more interesting question you asked, though, is why the visceral reaction toward Griffin? Polarizing guy, but it's a fair question. I thought he was a stand-up dude yesterday who mm-hmm. answered a lot of the questions we asked pretty honestly. I do think that he still blames other people more than himself. I didn't hear him say at any point, yeah, I had to be better. I wasn't good enough. But I thought there was some honesty, some introspective self-reflection that I thought was good to hear. And it was cool. I mean, he has not done an on-the-record lengthy conversation since he left. And Scott McLuhan hadn't either. And both of those guys, for whatever reason, chose this platform to do that. And I think that's awesome. And I'm glad that, well, hopefully people will know that we'll do a fair chat with you. We're going to ask questions that need to be asked, but we're going to be respectful. I think McLuhan probably felt that way when it was all said and done. And hopefully Robert Griffin did as well. And hopefully you guys enjoyed the discussion. It's a little bit more closure than you had previously for a guy that you cared a whole lot about. Let's get into some of the big news in the NFL. So the first thing that happened this morning was that the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East, who look like they are en route, Danny, right now to winning the division, and who look like perhaps the best team in football. We're going to give our NFL power rankings today at 12:45. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm debating between the Patriots and the Eagles as the number one team in the league.
They're the arm wrestling match right now.
Philly got better. They are 7-1 through 8 games, have yet to had their bye. They have not lost 4-0 at home at Lincoln Financial Field. And they improved by trading a fourth-round pick for a guy last year who was one of the best running backs in football, Jay Ajayi, from the Miami Dolphins. I don't really know why Miami did this. This feels to me like making a trade to make a trade. This is a bad offense that is underperforming. Their coach has called them out, it seems like, every single week over the last month for how terrible they've been. I don't know how this makes you better. Fourth-round picks generally turn into special teams contributors or, I don't know, someone who's a backup on the offensive line for a year or two and eventually gets a chance to start. You're not getting impact players generally in the fourth round right away. Jamison Crowders are much more rare than your fill-in-the-blank Josh Laribas types.
Right, your Breelands and Crowders are the exception rather than the
absolutely.
Rule.
Absolutely. So I don't really know why they made this trade, but for the Eagles, this is smart. They should feed Ajayi and Blount and other than throwing the ball to the other guys, you shouldn't see other players get carries now. They got better at an important position.
So looking at Ajayi, some of the reading I've kind of done quickly because this was announced this morning is basically Miami's concern long-term with Ajayi because they don't think he's got knees that are going to hold up, whether it's degenerative or they think an injury's coming or he's been slowed by it, whatever. Point of the story is last year he was outstanding, averaged about 5 yards a pop, didn't make a trip early on in the season. Basically 12 games as the starter, ripped off about 1,300 yards, including a 200-yard game at Buffalo. He was outstanding for them. 8 total touchdowns. He was really, really good. So they thought they had something. This year, averaging 3.4 yards per carry in 7 starts. He's been awful. And whether it's a line problem, whether it's an Ajayi problem, I don't know. I just know that they don't feel like they're getting A, production, B, they'd rather kind of hit the reboot button for an offense that isn't very good, maybe give the football to somebody else that could average more than 3.4 yards per carry. From Philadelphia's perspective, this is not about long-term. This is about, can we upgrade right now this year? And if they watched some of that game film and said, you know what, Ajayi's getting hit in the backfield. This isn't on him. This is an offense that stinks. Ours doesn't stink. Give him some space and watch what happens. I bet you he is rejuvenated. He'll have young-looking legs all of a sudden. Even though the Eagles are without some of their better offensive linemen, that scheme, how dynamic it is, I think Ajayi's going
to
thrive.
Here's my concern, though. And you're right, Jason Peters, their left tackle, is hurt. But they're still healthy enough to run the ball pretty well. And I think with the receiving core they've built, Alshon Jeffrey coming off of a decent game, Torrey Smith can stretch the field, Nelson Agholor better than he was a year ago, Carson Wentz making plays with his feet and throwing the ball down the field after extending plays, there is going to be running room for Ajayi. But to me, this is a team trying to become more an all-weather offense. How many times have I clubbed Doug Peterson for not running the ball enough, for not being balanced enough, for keeping teams in the game by throwing it more often than he should with a young quarterback who does still make mistakes? Bringing in Ajayi, having LeGarrette Blount, they've got an opportunity where they should be able to put games away on the ground now, where as the weather gets colder, they're an outdoor natural grass surface team in Philadelphia in the Mid-Atlantic here on the East Coast. They need to be able to run the ball if they're going to win in December and, more importantly, in January in the playoffs. So I love this deal for them. It was not the biggest trade yesterday. And even though it took place in the NFC East, it was not the biggest deal in the last 24 hours as it pertains to the Washington Redskins. Because Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, long rumored to be in on the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes. The opinion for the last 2 years was that when Kyle Shanahan got a job, he would try to lure Kirk Cousins to whatever city he went to. And eventually, that job came in the form of the San Francisco 49ers opening. And the immediate thought was, they've got all the cap room. They've got no quarterback. They didn't draft one this year. That's where Kirk Cousins is going to end up. But he traded for Jimmy Garoppolo. It was a smart business move for San Francisco. What does it mean for the Redskins? How much more likely is it that Cousins stays in Washington, D.C.? Let's break that down next. And for the first time this morning, let's get your reactions on the phones at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 on the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines. We're Grant and Danny. Is Cousins more likely to hang in D.C. after Garoppolo is headed to San Francisco?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.